worse than I thought it would be. I've never been happier.
One, two, one, two. Right, I'm going to speak about the Bible now. Who's enjoyed our vision series over the last few weeks? At least three of you, good. If Mike, if you're watching on YouTube, everyone put their hand up. There was shouts of joy and excitement. I've enjoyed it. You didn't have to put your hands up. I'm just being silly. It's been good. We've been looking at how we want to be a church that is multiplying healthy disciples, a church that's growing, a church where we ourselves are like healthy followers of Jesus and where we encourage other people and lead other people to do the same. And we want to be a church that is transforming community. Those are the two big headlines that we're going after. The destination, Mike says. They're what we want to be. We want to be people who transform the community around us, both the like local space around our church building and the communities in which we find ourselves in week by week, the places God calls us to be. We want to be transforming those places with God's love and God's power. And as we do that, we have these three values that we've looked at. We've looked at going together, being in community together, not just to sort of sit around on our own, but also to be outward looking, to go together, to go into the world as a community, as a church family, to bring transformation. We've looked at how we want to be Jesus-centered. Mike looked at that a little bit last week. We want to be centered on Jesus. We want to pray. We want to read the Bible. We want to listen to the Holy Spirit and hear what God's saying. We don't just want to do stuff without hearing what he's saying. So we want to be a Jesus-centered church. And then the third value is that we are for the marginalized. I did a talk on that a few weeks ago. And that's such a key aspect of this church's particular calling in the city, is to be for the marginalized, to look out for people on the edges of society and to say to them, you matter. You matter to God and you matter to us. And that's why I love stories about this guy, Mark, who became a Christian through our food bank. I'm excited about us continuing and growing and being a church that is for the marginalized in this city. So we've had all this vision stuff, which is helpful. And then next Sunday, we're having Commitment Sunday, which is where we say to you, are you guys up for being part of this? Is this something that you want to buy into and be part of? And what is your part? What's your part to play? Everyone, if you're part of this church, God's called you here for a reason. You have something to bring. You won't necessarily be able to do all the things that we're doing, but there'll be some things that you can join in with. You can give your time, your energy, your gifts, your money even, towards this vision and to see this church being growing and fruitful and multiplying healthy disciples and transforming community. So next week, hopefully you had an email from Mike this week. If you didn't, you can let one of us know and we can get you on that list. You might have had an email from Mike just saying that Commitment Sunday is coming up next week and just to think about that. And so it's in this kind of space between here's the vision and next Sunday is Commitment Sunday that I want to speak just into that kind of space that we have this Sunday. It can feel sometimes like there's so much stuff to do. Part of the vision stuff that we've been talking about is all the things that there are to do. We've had loads of notices this morning about things that are going on. There are so many opportunities for ways you could get involved. I could tell you about all the different aspects of church life that we need team for. I already mentioned our worship team. We'd love to have some more people on the worship team. I could tell you about the gaps on the kids' rotas or the coffee rota or the welcome rota or probably any number of other rotas. But before we even think about, like, me or anyone else saying to you, how can you get more involved, I want to just say that we need to take a breath, and if we run after all the stuff, if we do all the stuff without staying close to Jesus, then we're going to go wrong. And I think that's so easy to do, and I think it's something that we need reminding of. I need reminding of that. I can get caught up in all the stuff I have to do. I can say, yeah, this is amazing stuff. God's calling me to do this. God's given me a particular gifting to serve in this way. And I can find myself wandering away from Jesus and just doing stuff because I think it's the right thing to do without staying close to Jesus. And so that's why I've been thinking about that a lot this term. I've been finding, there's just so many opportunities. I've been here for a couple of years and got built relationships and started new things and stuff's growing and expanding and there's always more we can be doing. Hi, Elijah. I find myself in danger of that, of doing all the stuff without staying close to Jesus. And as I've been thinking about that this term and praying, and we had a staff retreat day a few weeks ago, the thing that came to mind was Jesus' words in John chapter 15 about a vine and branches. And so we're going to read a little bit of that. We're doing a series on it in the evening, and I have already shared some of this in one of our evening services. So I'm kind of giving the rest of the church a bit of a taste of that. But I just think it's something that's important for us as a whole church, so I wanted to say it in the morning as well. Jesus says, if you want to be fruitful, remain in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I think fruitful and healthy are kind of similar words. We want to be multiplying healthy disciples, and that means that we are fruitful. Fruitfulness is a picture of healthiness of a plant, and it's an image that we're going to explore a little bit more. So I'm going to read from John chapter 15. It will come up on the screen, but do get a Bible or a phone open in front of you as well. We're just going to read the first 5 verses of John 15. I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, by the way. He does this really long series of speeches towards the end of John's gospel, saying really important things to his disciples before his death. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. When Jesus is speaking to people, he loves to use imagery that's familiar to them. He would have been speaking probably to plenty of people who were very well-versed in agriculture, in growing. There are loads of vineyards in Israel, and it's an easy place to grow grapes and other types of fruit. So he uses this image because it's something familiar to them. It's something that makes sense to them, perhaps more than it does to you or I today. But hopefully we can still get hold of this image and say, yeah, there's a branch, there's a vine, and when you stay part of the vine, you can bear fruit. That's fairly obvious. If you rip a branch off a tree, it's not going to bear fruit for very much longer. So that's why Jesus goes for this image, and we'll unpack a little bit of what it means. I've got kind of 2 key questions we're going to unpack if you pop my next slide up, Don. What does Jesus mean by bearing fruit? What does it mean to be fruitful Or as I mentioned earlier, what does it mean to be healthy, to be a healthy disciple of Jesus, a fruitful disciple? And secondly, what does it mean to remain in Jesus, to abide in Jesus? What does it mean to stay close to him? What does that look like for you and for me? So those are the two questions that we're going to unpack. So the first one is, what does fruitfulness mean? What's the point of this image? I want to suggest to you that when we see images in the Bible, they're often used intentionally to allow for a multiplicity of meanings. There's loads of different things that fruitfulness can mean and does mean. It's not that it specifically means this one thing or this other thing. Fruit is juicy, it's sweet, it's delicious, it tastes nice. When I did this at the evening service, we handed out grapes and we all ate a grape. You can come and grab a grape towards the end if you like. But when you eat fruit, it's tasty, it's delicious. Bearing in mind, when Jesus said this as well, there weren't any like Mars bars or Maltesers or anything like that. Fruit probably was the most delicious thing there was to eat, perhaps. Maybe even grapes were like the most tasty thing in the whole world. So fruit is delicious, it tastes good. It's something that is attractive. It looks good, it tastes good. It's something that you want to eat and you want to share with other people. Fruit is also a sign of God's blessing. If you were a farmer and your main source of income was growing fruit or growing some kind of crops, if God gives you fruit and if God gives you a good harvest, then that's God's blessing on your life. You need that to provide for your family. We're in, you know, modern day UK, we're slightly more distanced, most of us, from the practicalities of farming and agriculture and those kinds of industries. But that would have been a very real thought to people in the first century. Fruit can be a sign of God blessing us. You might think back, when we think about fruitfulness throughout the Bible, you might think all the way back to God's first command to humans. He says, be fruitful and multiply. He's saying, I want you to, it's partly a command simply to have children and to fill the earth and to fill the earth with people who do God's work in the earth. And it's also a command to bring goodness into the world. Like, that was the idea of God making humans, is that he wants us to be a blessing to the world. And God's design for humans is that we are productive, we are fruitful, we do stuff with our hands. Most of us probably go to work, or we have some kind of job that we put our hands to, whether we're paid for it or not. We have stuff to do, and God wants us to do that stuff. The stuff that we do with our hands is furthering God's purposes in the world. Our work is worship, if you like. And the things that we do are to bless those around us and to bring God's goodness into the world. We might also think of a fruitful Christian as being someone who bears the fruits of the Spirit. That's another place in Scripture we see this language of fruitfulness. Your life, if your life is fruitful, it's going to be attractive. It's going to taste good. People are going to see your life and the way that you reflect Jesus, and it's going to look good and taste good to them, just like delicious fruit. And I read one thing that I thought was interesting when I was studying this passage that said that the extent to which a vine is fruitful depends on how much the gardener or the vine dresser cares for it. And that just really hit me. Maybe it's kind of obvious, but it made me ask the question, am I allowing God to care for me so that I can be fruitful? Or am I quite tempted to think I'm doing all right by myself and to almost, you know, expect myself to be fruitful in my own strength? That just really struck a chord with me. Are you allowing God to care for you, for your vine, if you like, your branch, so that you can be fruitful? And as Jesus is unpacking this image of fruitfulness and him being the true vine and us being the branches that remain in him, he also gives us an example of what fruitfulness isn't. He talks about branches, dead branches that are broken off from the vine that don't bear fruit. Verse 2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Some of this stuff doesn't sound very friendly, does it? Why can't Jesus just talk about the fruit and the vine, and like, why does he have to talk about dead branches? Like, what's that about, Jesus? Can't you just like be nice? So maybe there's something in it. Maybe we should listen to the challenging words of Jesus as well as the nice words of Jesus. Later on in the passage, I've made Rosemary speak on this bit of the passage tonight, so I'm looking forward to her having to deal with that. He talks about them being thrown into the fire. So good luck with that, Rosemary. I'm not really going to cover that, but I do want to say that when Jesus gives these warnings, right, they're there for a reason, and we can sometimes assume that they're meant for someone else. Like, sometimes you read Jesus talking to the Pharisees or whatever, and you're like, oh yeah, Pharisees, they're so dumb. I'd never do that. And it can be a bit like that with this. You'd be like, oh, every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he cuts off. Oh yeah, I don't need to worry about that. But Jesus is actually talking here to his disciples. He's talking to, like, the most committed people. I mean, maybe he's just meaning Judas. But I think sometimes when these warnings are there, let's listen to them and see if maybe they could apply to you and to me. There are lots of theories about, like, what Jesus means when he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he cuts off. Because it's like, how can the branch be in Jesus and yet not bear fruit? So it's like somehow it's possible to be linked with Jesus or connected with Jesus in some way, but not to be fruitful and to end up like this dead branch. One of the theories is that it's referring to like the Jews or some of the people of Israel who reject Jesus. So they're in the covenant, in the old covenant, if you like, but they reject Jesus, so they're not fruitful. Maybe that's one of the meanings or the meaning. Some people say that it's apostate Christians who have believed, who have been in Jesus, but who turn away, who in the face of persecution deny their faith, something that maybe would have happened, I don't know, maybe that's true. But again, I want to just say to us, what's the point of this passage for me and for you? Whether it might have meant or could have meant either of those meanings, Jesus still leaves open this possibility that we can be in him and yet not be fruitful. And maybe the application for us is maybe it's possible to go to church and to come and be part of a church community where you're kind of in Jesus, if you like. You're in the church, you're in the building, you're part of it. But without truly remaining in him, without being fruitful. Maybe that's possible, and maybe that's something just to ask ourselves rather than just to dismiss it and assume that it doesn't apply to us. And I think as well, these kinds of warnings that Jesus says, they're not necessarily supposed to make us feel bad or guilty, but I think they're supposed to move us to action. It's like, okay, that sounds bad, being cut off from the vine of Jesus and being connected to him. It's not supposed to make you just sit around and be depressed about how sad that would be. It's supposed to make you say, okay, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to really be in Jesus. I'm going to really be connected. I'm going to really stay close to him. And I'm going to really ask him to make me a fruitful Christian. I think that's the point of these warnings, rather than to just condemn ourselves for anything that's going on. So we talked a bit about fruitfulness. We talked a bit about what fruitfulness isn't. What does it mean if we're going to be fruitful, healthy Christians? What does it mean to remain in Jesus, to abide in him? If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. That's a promise from Jesus. You're going to be a fruitful Christian if you stay close to him, if you remain in him, if you abide in him. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If we start doing all the stuff, if we go after all the stuff that needs doing, all the ministries, all the work, all the stuff that there is to do, but don't remain in Jesus, we're not going to be fruitful. We're going to be like this dead branch. So what does it mean? What does it look like for us to abide in Jesus, to be fruitful? Well, I could easily talk to you about lots of very obvious answers to that question. I could tell you to read your Bible. I could tell you to pray. I could tell you to worship, to come to church. It'd be kind of pointless because you're already here. And those probably are the answer to that question. There are lots of spiritual disciplines, if you like, if you want to call them that, that help us to stay close to Jesus. Hopefully you have some of those in your life. Hopefully you do read the Bible and you do pray and you do come to church and you do worship and you do listen to what God is saying to you. But I'm always slightly wary of preaching that kind of asks people to do more, because really the message of the gospel and the message of Jesus is the message of Jesus saying, I've already done it, and I'm inviting you to be part of it. And that's not to say that we don't play a part in disciplining ourselves, in making choices that enable us to stay close to Jesus. That's super important. But the language Jesus uses is a bit more like an invitation. He uses all these phrases like, I am the true vine, I am the bread of life, I am the living water. He's just trying to paint a picture of how beautiful and how life-giving and how amazing life with Jesus is, the abundant life he talks about in John chapter 10. And he says, come, come and get involved. Come and be close. Come and be a branch that is close to me. Come and taste the living water. Come and eat the bread of life. Come and do life with me. And you're going to be fruitful. You're going to experience life in all its fullness. Taste the fruit. Taste and see that God is good. Taste and see how beautiful a fruitful life with Jesus is compared to anything else. There's no other way to live your life that's going to be as fulfilling as being close to Jesus. And so I just want to give that more as an invitation rather than a you must do more of this or you must do more of that. Just hear Jesus say, I am the true vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me, if you stay close to me, you will be fruitful. I will make you fruitful. It's not because you're particularly amazing or awesome, although you are. It's because of Jesus being at work in you. And it's because of you being willing to lay down your life and let him work through you. I want to just quickly mention the evening service as one way that we go after this as a church. In the evenings, there is lots of space to worship and to pray. It's a bit slower, it's a bit calmer than the morning. It's kind of the opposite of busyness. Often our morning services have loads of different things going on, and we try really hard in the evening to keep it really simple and really spacious. And if you've not tried coming in the evening, maybe just think about it. Maybe that could be one way that you keep your life Jesus-centered and choose to remain in him. This is not about me making you come to another service. This is not about the numbers of our service. I don't care if you don't come in the evening or if you do. But just ask yourself the question, like, could that be a helpful way for you to connect with Jesus? And would that enhance your spiritual life as a whole? For some of us, that might mean, you know, the best spiritual life that we can lead is that we spend Sunday nights at home getting ready for Monday. That's totally fine. It might mean that coming out and worshiping sometimes or every week or whatever, that might be a good option. That might be a good way for you to remain in Jesus. So I just want to mention that that is an option. And that's, I guess, when we think about our church being Jesus-centered, the evening service is one of the ways that we express that specifically. And so just looking ahead to next week when we got this Commitment Sunday, just thinking about how all this fits together. Being part of this church should be good news. We've talked a lot about how we want to be good news to the people around us. We want people to be glad that this church exists in this particular part of Philadelphia or whatever and across the city. People should be glad that we exist, that we're here, that we're doing the things that we're doing. But I also want to say that being part of this church should be good news for you. Like, being part of this church should be a joy to you, and I hope it is, and it is for me. And if you're thinking about commitment, if you're thinking about what am I doing, what's my role to play in the church, I want to say that that should be fulfilling for you. Like, if you serve on a kids team, or if you serve on the worship team, or whatever it is God might call you to do, to help this church to flourish. Like, that should be something that brings life to you. I'm not saying it won't be stressful or difficult at times. It almost certainly will. But there should be some sense of you get some life out of this, and it's good news for you because that's what God's made you to do. God's made you to be part of the church. He's called you to be part of this church, and it's going to be good for you to express your particular gifts and calling within the life of our church. So it should be good news for you. Giving your money to the church should be good news for you. It should fill you with joy that you give some money and you see the benefit of that. You see people who are paid to do jobs for this church. I'm not actually paid by the church. I'm paid by the diocese, if you care. So I'm not really talking about myself, but you should be able to see people who are working for this church. You should be able to see buildings that are kept open and heated to welcome people, and your money goes to make a real difference in people's lives. That should bring us joy when we give to the church. It should give you joy to be in a community. Many of us are in a community, and if you're not, we'd love to talk to you about how you can get connected. That, again, will bring you joy, but it may also be hard at times. If you've tried to be a Christian with other Christians, sometimes that can be challenging. Christians can be annoying and difficult. I know I can. None of you are. But I think that's something that ties in really beautifully to this grapevine image, actually. Like, we're all connected to each other. We're all these branches. We're all trying to be fruitful together while staying connected to Jesus. And actually, being in community is such an important expression of that. and is so key. And it's we do it together, we're trying to be fruitful together, and God the Father is the vine dresser. He's the gardener. He's shaping us, pruning us, molding us, helping us to be fruitful. I love that picture and that image. So what does it look like to like balance this stuff out? How do I get it right? Like, this is like an age-old question for Christians. Like, how much time do I spend doing church stuff? How much time do I spend praying? How much time do I spend working? How much time do I spend with my family doing all the other different things that God wants us to do? That's a big question, and that's kind of where I want to finish, really. I heard once that someone asked John Wesley, who was like a famous Methodist dude, founder of Methodism, preacher guy, cool Christian dude. Someone asked him, I think he was doing some gardening outside his house, and someone came up to him and said, John, if Jesus was coming back tomorrow, what would you do? And apparently John Wesley replied and said, well, I'd keep trimming this hedge. And I remember hearing that story as a younger Christian and thinking, are you nuts? Like, surely if Jesus is coming back tomorrow, you're going to go around and preach to everyone and share the gospel and, you know, do some ministry and make the most of the last few hours or the last few days before Jesus returns. And the thing that's really striking about that story is that John Wesley presumably had a really good sense of how much of his time he was giving to different things. He knew that it was important to rest. He knew that ministry was important, and what God was calling him to do with his life in a ministry setting was important, but he knew also that it was okay to rest, to trim his hedge, to care for his house, to spend some time resting. Maybe he was praying while he was doing it. I don't know. And I think churches sometimes can be like, we can demand too much of people. We can stand at the front here and say, you've got to give your whole life to Jesus. You've got to give your whole life to the church. You've got to be all in. And we can guilt trip people into serving to the point of burning out and doing too much. Does God want you to give your time, your money, your energy, and your gifts to the church, sometimes sacrificially? Yes, of course he does. But does God also want you to sleep, to rest, to care for your family, to care for yourself, to allow God to care for you, to flourish as a human, to do exercise? Yes, he really does. And so I don't want this Commitment Sunday next week to be all about do more, do more, do more stuff. We've got so much need. There's so much that can be done. Without also saying, we care about you as people. And I just want to hear you say that. I want you to hear me say this. We don't want you to run yourself into the ground to serve this church. We don't want you to neglect your family or to neglect your well-being. This Commitment Sunday is not about you feeling guilty about not doing enough in this church. And if you've ever felt like that, then we're really sorry that that's happened. It's not really about you being more committed to the programs and projects of this church. It's about you being more committed to Jesus. What does it look like for you to be committed to Jesus? Sometimes that might mean getting more involved in church activities. There might be some ways you can serve that you're excited about, opportunities that you can see where God could use you. But it might also mean doing less. It might mean saying, actually, I'm going to stop doing this. Will I be annoyed if you come to me and say you want to get off a rota that I'm responsible for filling? Maybe, secretly. But deep down, no. I want you to flourish as humans. I want you to make decisions that are going to help you to stay spiritually close to Jesus across your whole life. And sometimes that means doing less. That's kind of what Jesus says. He says, those branches that are already fruitful, he prunes. It's like bits of our life get cut off or taken away in order to make us more fruitful. And sometimes that means we need to stop doing things. And that doesn't necessarily refer to church activities. That could be all kinds of stuff in our life that doesn't help us to be fruitful. I can think of ways that I spend my time that I could spend differently that would help me to be more fruitful. And God might be challenging me to prune those things, to get rid of those things. And he might be doing that for you as well. I'm just going to leave some silence just to reflect. Where are you with this commitment stuff? And it'll be something to respond to maybe more fully next week, but just to start thinking about now. If you know that you're only half in, if you're here at church, but actually your heart's not fully in it, that's something just between you and God to say, God, I'm sorry for only being 50% in. I want to be all in for you, and I want you to show me what that looks like. And if you're 150% in, and you're so busy that you don't have time for some of the things that maybe you think you should have time for, that's something to say sorry to God for too. And that might not just be church stuff, that might be other things in your life. So just have a moment of quiet, just 2 minutes of silence, just to reflect, just to say, God, where am I with this? Do I need to be more committed and doing more things? Do I need to do less things so that I can spend time with you and abide in you and be fruitful? Just take a moment of silence, and I'm going to reflect as well. Can I invite you, if you'd like to, just to stand and to put your hands out like this as a sign of receiving from God, if you'd like to. It'd be great if the worship team could come up as well, and we're going to sing in a minute. Sometimes doing something physical is just a helpful expression of what God's doing in our hearts. I'm just going to put my hands out like this just to say, God, I want to be a fruitful Christian. And I can't do that by myself. I need you to do that in me. Lord, I'm sorry for the times when I've been too busy to remain in you and abide in you. I repent of that, Lord. And Lord, I'm sorry for the times when I've been half-hearted in my commitment to you, where I've been more committed to myself or things of this world that don't really bring me life and don't really make me fruitful. Lord, I repent of that. Lord, would you make us a church that is fruitful, a church that is full of healthy disciples? Lord, help us. Start with me, Lord. Help me to be healthy. Help me to be fruitful. Help me to stay close to you. Show me what a balanced life looks like, Lord, where I spend time serving and giving, but where I also spend time resting and being with you. I pray for each person, Lord. I pray you give us real wisdom. Maybe just making that decision even feels overwhelming and difficult. Lord, I pray that you'd give everyone here real wisdom and clarity. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd fill us afresh and speak to us and show us what needs pruning, what needs taking away, and what new things might you be calling us to do, and what are you calling us just to keep on doing. I pray you'd give us real clarity as we think about this and as we try to be faithful to you, Jesus. And Lord, I pray as we look ahead to Commitment Sunday, as we think about how we enact this vision, Lord, I pray that you do wonderful things. I pray that you do more than we expect. I pray that we would see more healthy disciples being multiplied across our church, across this city, in the networks and whatever else that we've got going on. I pray that we would transform communities, that you would bring transformation through us as we lay down our lives for you, Jesus. I pray that we would be good news to this city. I pray that this church would be good news to this city. And I pray for all of us who belong to this church, that it would be good news for us to be part of this church. I pray that there would be more and more joy, Lord, as we serve and as we give and as we look to remain in you. I pray that you'd fill us with your joy, Lord, that serving you and living with you and for you would more and more be something that fills us with joy and hope. I just pray for anyone who serving and being part of church and doing stuff has been really hard recently. Lord, I pray for an outpouring of your joy for those people, Lord.